This morning, I want to take you on a little journey with me, okay? Is that okay? Thank you. I appreciate the moral reinforcement there. One thing that I've enjoyed doing is I've enjoyed studying the names of God. Because in my daily life, sometimes I face challenges. You might never face any challenges, so maybe you don't need it. Well, you do. we need to have a correct focus. And I believe that our faith is based upon how we see God. So if I see who God is, I see his name, and I understand that, and I grasp it, it has an impact for me from day to day to day. And so I think that that's very important. The name that we're going to be looking at is Yahweh Sabaoth. Okay? Yahweh Sabaoth. Everybody say that with me. Yahweh Sabaoth. Again, Yahweh Sabaoth. I want you to remember that this week, because when we finish this morning, you may need to remember that. And that way it'll stick in your mind and you'll be able to remember it. An interesting thing, in August of this year, I don't know if any of you have been listening to the news or whatever, but there's some interesting things happening in South Africa. And in South Africa, what has happened is, I guess there were a lot of white landowners that owned a lot of land, major land, and so they didn't want that to continue. And so they've been killing them. And in fact, in August, there was a meeting set up that was, you could classify kind of like a land grab meeting, where they were going to vote to take away the rights of them from owning the land. And so in that process, we serve Yahweh Sabaoth. And this is what happened. Yahweh Sabaoth, do we serve the Lord of hosts? This morning, I'd like to take a look at that because it's important. God hasn't changed. This reflects part of who Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh is God's personal name. In fact, let's go a step further here. In Exodus, you remember with Moses, when God called him, it says there, Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Now, the I am in the Hebrew spelling, they don't know exactly how to translate it into English. So you've probably heard the term Jehovah, and you've maybe heard the word Yahweh. And they're not two separate names for God. They just don't know how to pronounce those Hebrew spellings, so they say it could be either way. So I don't know. I prefer Yahweh, so you're going to hear me using the word Yahweh this morning. But I am has sent me. And the I am, it represents that he is. I am. He is when Moses was there. He is the I am for you and I today. And guess what? If we go 500 years down the road, he's still the I am. In eternity, the future, he is the I am. That's who he is. That's I am. That's Yahweh. In Revelation 11, 16 and 17, it says, "And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and the one who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned.'" Grab a hold of that. That is Yahweh. Powerful, powerful. Let's go a step further here. What is the meaning of Sabbat? The word Sabbat, as a noun, Saba means armies. It means hosts or multitudes. And so as we look at that word, we'll find it translated in all three of these ways throughout Scripture. Armies, hosts, multitudes. In other words, it's a huge number. What I'd like for us to do a little bit is I would like for us to look through Scripture and see how Sabbat is used. Now, here's where we're going to go, just so you can see where we're going to go. Yahweh Sabbat, the I am of all multitudes, armies, whatever. That's who he is. We're going to take a look at in Scripture how is this word used? How is Sabbat used? And when we find out how it's used, we're going to come back and we're going to look at ourselves and say, how does this relate to me? How does it relate this week to me? Today, how does it relate to me? We want to take a look at that. Because if we miss that, we've missed the whole essence of the importance of the name of God. So let's fly through this as fast as we can, okay? In Isaiah 6:3, Isaiah had a vision. And in that vision that Isaiah had, he says there in verse 3, "And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is,'" and by the way, I need to share with you one other thing. You see the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. What you're going to find me doing is, I hate to use the word Lord there. The only reason that L-O-R-D capitals is there is because the translators didn't want to, initially, they didn't want to put down God's personal name there. So they called him Lord. Now, when I look in Scripture and what we're going to look at this morning, everywhere that you see that capital L-O-R-D, the characters in Scripture weren't afraid to use his name. But I feel like when we say the Lord of hosts, that's like saying, okay, my personal name is Myron. That's like saying, okay, man, could you do this? No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to minimize our God and who he is. So I'm going to read these and I'm going to say Yahweh. That's his personal name. That's the character that the characters in Scripture reflected on. Okay? Are you with me? Great. So let's, and there in Isaiah's vision it had, "And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts, of the multitudes. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Wow. Isaiah had a vision of who God is. Tremendous. Let's keep on going. What does Sabbat mean? 1 Kings 22:19. The Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left." Now read that. Who is the host of heaven? By the context, those in heaven on his right and on his left. Who are those? The angels, right? So Sabbat, hosts, multitudes, can refer to angelic beings that are in heaven. They can refer to that, okay? You got that? Let's go on a step further. In Numbers 2:4, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they set up camps around the tabernacle, right? Each tribe had their special spot that they set up. And so when we come to that, it says there in verse 4, "And his army," army is the word Sabbat, And his army was numbered at 74,600. So it can refer to an army at that point. In Numbers 2, verses 5 and 6, those who camp next to him shall be the tribe of Issachar. And Nathanael, the son of Zuar, shall be the leader of the children of Issachar. And his host, the King James Version uses the word host, and in the New King James it uses the word army, was numbered at 54,400. So again, it can refer to armies. Let's go a step further. In Exodus 12, 41, it says, "And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies, the Zebat, the multitudes of Yahweh, went out from the land of Egypt." Now, I just want to make a statement here. If you disagree with me, that's fine. But when I read that, and these people came out of the land of Egypt, personally, I feel like maybe armies isn't the best word to use there. Maybe people would be, because I have a hard time thinking that, okay, they're in Egypt as slaves, and now as they're coming out, they're armies. For some reason, I don't think that they could develop armies while being enslaved to the Egyptians. So I think it's more a mass movement of people coming out rather than their armies coming out, okay? So it can, the word Zebat can be angelic beings, it can be armies, it can be a large, large group of people, much larger than what we are today, but to console you, you are a Zebat, you are a group of people, okay? Good, I didn't want you to feel personal on that. In Isaiah 24, 21, it says, it shall come to pass on that day that Yahweh will punish, catch this, Yahweh will punish on high the host of exalted ones and on the earth the kings of the earth. Who's he going to punish? The exalted ones. Demons, evil beings. So it can signify not just angels, good, but it can signify evil also. Let's go a step further. Please stick with me on this. We're going to get there. In Isaiah 45, 12, it says, "I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretched out the heavens and all their multitudes or hosts I have commanded." You got that? All the heavens he stretched out, and he says, all their hosts. So the heavens, everything that's up there, is said to be multitudes under God's command. He is Yahweh Zebat. He is the I am of multitudes of whatever. A step further. Genesis chapter 1, you all know, is creation, right? We go through that. It's creation. When we get to Genesis 2, verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts, the multitudes of them." Hosts refer to everything in the heavens. It refers to everything on the earth. Wow! Think of Yahweh Zebat, what that means. He is Yahweh. He is the I am of everything in the heavens, everything on the earth. No wonder his name is so great. He is the I am. He is over everything that there is. Let's go one further. With that picture in mind now, okay? You've got in your mind Yahweh Zebat. You've got in your mind Yahweh the I am, and you have in your mind what Zebat represents, what it encompasses, a whole lot. Now, let's take a look at some characters in Scripture, and let's see how they looked at Yahweh Zebat. This is where it runs right where you and I walk day by day. First character, I'd just like to look at two of them. The first one is David. You know the story. In 1 Samuel 17, 45, when David was in front of Goliath, it says there, "Then David said to the Philistine," Goliath, "you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of Yahweh of the multitudes." The God of the armies, or you could say battalions or ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. Do you see David's view of God in that? I hope that you do. David saw God as not just God. He saw God as the Yahweh, the I Am of the multitudes of all that there is. So think about that situation. It began over here are the Philistines. Their armies are lined up. Over here is Israel, the valley in the middle. David comes down to the middle of that ravine or whatever is running through there. And as we look at that, we see Goliath coming. 9 feet tall. He's got a spear that's like a weaver's beam. You know what? He could have just 15, 18 pounds, just the head of it. So, I mean, you take that whole thing, I would probably have to do bench presses just to get up strong enough to hold it. He could have taken that and just wiped me out. But look at David's view. David told Saul that, "Saul, when I was back watching my father's sheep, a lion came and tried to take the sheep. And I killed it. I killed it. A bear came. You know what I did? I killed it." How could he do that? He could do that because of his view of God. When a lion or a bear would come at you, what would you do? Stand up to it? No. I'm going to get out of here. His view of God was Yahweh Zabot. He put this together and he said, "I serve the I Am that's over the multitudes of all that is. That's who I serve." And you know what? When he stood up to Goliath, looked up to him, he looked at him and said, "You know what? You come with all these things, but I come to you in the name of the I Am of the hosts of all that is in heaven, on earth." He can bring anything he wants into this picture right now. And you're gone. Wow. That is powerful. That is the view that you and I need to have this week of Yahweh Zabot, Yahweh of multitudes, Yahweh of hosts. We need to have that view of him. And you know, when we have the view of him, it makes a difference. I think of a little girl in Guyana. In our Good News Clubs, are evangelistic in CEF, and they're also discipleship. We want to see children grow in the relationship to the Lord. And it encourages me when I see and hear the testimonies of those children who are catching it. They're seeing it. Tiffany was one of those. She said the Good News Club lessons helped me trust God so that he is able to protect me and I can say no to Satan who wants to destroy my life. Yahweh Zabot, she says, when I trust him, he is my protection. He is my help. Wow. And, you know, sometimes we do things that we would never do otherwise. I think of Rebecca, a 9-year-old girl. She came to Good News Club in a home setting, and she trusted in Christ as her Savior, and she was growing, and she said, you know what? My friends in my school need to know about God. They need to know about Jesus Christ and what he has done. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a Good News Club in my school. 9 years old. So you know what she did? She grabbed a folder. She got some Bible lesson material, songs. She wrote down everything that she was going to do in Good News Club. And she even had a theme that she was going to use in her club. She had it all down, and she went to her school, and she started a Good News Club. She would never have done that if she didn't view Yahweh Sabaoth. He can help me. He can help me to do this. He is the I am of all that is. I can trust him. Our view of Yahweh Sabaoth is absolutely critical for you and I today and each day. Let's go a step further. That's taking a look at David. I think there's another character that really has an excellent view of God, besides even Isaiah. We already read Isaiah that he did. But in the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, you know that story. You know it very well, up on Mount Carmel. And anyway, when they went up there, in 1 Kings 18, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of Yahweh came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Now, what happened before that, of course, is God had shut it off. No rain. And now he's saying, go to Ahab, and guess what? I am, Sabaoth, multitudes, I'm going to send multitudes of raindrops, pss, 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 all over. It's going to come. He says that. He is the God of the rain. If you read on in that a little bit, in verse 21 it says, so Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two options? Good question. Sometimes you and I do that. If Yahweh is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. They wouldn't answer. Then in verse 24, he threw out something to them. There in verse 24 it says, then you call on the name of your gods. He said, you call on the names of your gods, and I will call on the name of Yahweh. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So Yahweh Sabaoth, the God of multitudes, isn't only the God of the rain. He's the God of fire. He's the God of all kinds of things. Going down a little bit further. Then Elijah, after the fire came down, consumed everything. Wow. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there's the sound of the abundance of rain. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Yahweh Sabaoth, over wind, over rain, over the whole picture. That is who Yahweh is. He is the God of the wind, the rain, and all that there is. Oh, if you and I can only grasp Yahweh Sabaoth, if you and I can only grasp who he is this week, it would be powerful. How does all this that we've been talking about this morning apply to you and to me? Yahweh, he is the I am in my life. Today, the second, I'm standing right here, he is the I am. When I get up tomorrow morning, guess what? He's still the I am. When I've been up for 1 hour, he is still the I am for each one of you. He is there. He will be here in eternity after this time. He's still the I am. By recognizing his name, I am recognizing his person. In other words, that his being. He is the source of all being. Everything has life and breath through him. We're recognizing his being, and we're also recognizing his presence. Zabat. If I recognize Yahweh Zabat of multitudes, its meaning for me is that he is over the multitudes of things around me. He is over the multitudes of created things. Cars, trees, all things. The multitudes of angelic beings, he's over. The multitudes of armies, people in the whole world. We've learned about that this morning. He's over the multitudes of all of that. The multitudes of stars in the heavens. He is the Yahweh Zabat. He is the I am of the multitudes of all that exists. To see Yahweh Zabat means that I see he is always with me and he is over the multitudes of people and things in my world. That's what we need to remember. This week, we need to remember that. When those challenging times come this week, you need to remember Yahweh, the God of the multitudes of everything. He's powerful. We must remember that. He is over everything in my world. Sometimes what I think we need to do is we need to have our blinders taken off. I don't know about you, but I don't always have victory in everything. I look back and I say, oh, I blew that. Oh, I blew that over there too. Why? I believe because I didn't internalize and grasp Yahweh Zabat in my life. And it's important that we do that. There's a story in scripture that's given that I think it doesn't use the word Yahweh Zabat, but I think it illustrates it very well. You all know the story. In 2 Kings 6, verses 15 to 18. And when the servant of the man of God, that's the man of God is Elisha. When the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Have you ever asked that? What should I do in this situation? I don't know. What should I do in that situation? I don't know what to do. Have you ever said that? He was saying that. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Yahweh, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to Yahweh and said, "Strike the people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. I want you to catch this. When the blinders were taken off, he could see. He could see the multitudes all around. Before that, he couldn't. This week, if you don't see the multitudes of Yahweh in your situation, you're going to feel hopeless. You're going to feel frustrated. You're going to feel hurt. You're going to feel all kinds of feelings if you miss Yahweh Zabat. Don't miss him this week. If you see him, that it's not just about him, but he is the God of all the multitudes on heaven and on earth, and you see his essence of who he is, it's going to make all the difference in the world. So this week, reflect back on what we've talked about this morning. Yahweh Zabbat. When we began, we were looking at the meaning of Yahweh Zabbat, the picture of that word found in Scripture in the eyes of David, how he saw him, Elijah, how he saw him, and I hope how you will see him. This week, when the challenges come that seem beyond you, when you feel all alone, you're not. Yahweh Zabbat, the multitudes are all around you. When everything is mounting up and you don't know what to do, remember the picture, David's picture of Yahweh. Remember that. He said, in the name of Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh Zabbat, all the hosts of heaven and earth, I come to you, he said. Will you trust Yahweh Zabbat in the challenges you face this week? And you know what, I have to say this. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to be able to trust him. Because his name doesn't mean anything to you. His name only means something to you and I because of the relationship that we have with him. If you don't know him, you're going to have those frustrating times, and when you have those frustrating times, there is nowhere to turn. You have to deal with it alone. I don't wish that on any of you. Because when I go through this week and those challenging times come, you know, sometimes I just have to park it before the Lord and I have to say, I don't understand, I don't know, but you're here. He loves you. He died for you. He's perfect. He took your sin up on that cross so that you wouldn't have to, so that you could have his spirit, his life that he offers to you. I hope that this morning, if you do not know him as your Lord and Savior, before you leave, that you will see Brandon, myself, whoever, and that we'll be able to just share with you how you can have a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. It's important. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you that we could just see your name and who you are. And my prayer is, please, take the blinders off of our eyes this week. We're going to be in those situations that we desperately, desperately need to see you. And unless you take those blinders off, we're going to forget who you are. And it's going to be a very frustrating week for us. We don't want that. We want you to be glorified. We want those who do not know you as Lord and Savior to know you, to see you. And the only way they will know and to see you is if we see you as Yahweh Zabbat, and it flows through and gives them the picture of who you are. So, Father, we just give it to you. We thank you. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for being Yahweh Zabbat for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Myron. I don't know about you, but I love hearing a multitude of teachers. I'm just wired that way.